So it's our hope that you'll indulge us a few minutes as we talk a little bit about the past and also spend some time thinking about the future, because there have been some changes and some plans for the coming years as well. A not-so-brief summary of the conference is contained on the inside cover of your program. Marge Masti put that together 10 years ago to celebrate Frank's 50th anniversary and him as a person. It shows that the conference began at a time when the nation was in turmoil. Geez, that hasn't happened since then. We were falling behind in the space race. The Russians surprised us with a Sputnik, and suddenly, for the first time in American history, the defense of the country was a topic that was a hot-button issue. And so the first foray into public education by the federal government in a large scale came about through the National Defense Education Act. And I have personal connections to that for a couple of reasons. First of all, my father was in guidance and counseling in the School of Education from 1953 to 1966. The year that I graduated from college, they moved out of town. And so the kind of unusual, I stayed in town to pursue a doctorate at the School of Education, and they left. But in going over my father's papers after he passed, I saw the proceedings of the hearings for the National Defense Education Act. And in that, I found that the country had come to a solution for learning problems, how we can assure that all students achieve at high levels. And it's probably something that's still in your school, the untapped potential of an overhead projector, along with advocating for counselors, which my father was there to do. There was somebody there from the Audiovisual Association claiming that if we put an overhead projector in every classroom, that we would solve the nation's achievement problems. Doggone it, why aren't we using our overhead projectors? There are several individuals who will help today in the reminiscing. They include Marge Masti, long-term member of the Planning Committee, and I think from various discussions, probably the person who attended the conferences earliest. Any rumors about us attending all of them are untrue. My first adventure was in 1967, where somebody was coming to speak, and I was very interested in the topic, and so I trudged over the graduate school in the cold of Michigan winter and listened to somebody that gave me an idea for my dissertation. But I know Marge had predated me. Terry Davidson, a longtime assessment conference director, is back for a cameo appearance and talking a little bit about the program in the past. When I took over as conference director, I didn't realize this. Terry kind of floored me, I think, when announcing that here at the conference, that I was going to be the fourth director in, at that point, I think, 57 years. And that is also remarkable. And I have no intention of breaking either Frank's or Terry's record for the number of years of chairing the conference. So, but he's back to talk with us as well. We also have three other individuals that I think will help. Andy Middlestead, of course, represents the Michigan Department of Education. And this wouldn't be a useful conference without MDE. We're thankful that they come and share so generously in what's here. We also have several other individuals. Actually, I wish I had a different order, but Stephen Sneed, who represents an intermediate school district, and we'll talk a little bit about what the conference means to him and the assessments. Ellen Vorenkamp, who is going to be sharing some reminiscences of some of you that she solicited and will appear. And then Kathy Dewsbury White will talk a little bit about the future of the conference. So going backwards one slide, I don't know if you can see that. It's awful small on my screen. You know, it's been 60 years. It was a time where the crisis of education, the low achievement of students, our economic competitiveness was being challenged. Frank started something because there was some initial funding, but to his to tribute to him is that he kept this going, and the conference continued and it thrived. Frank was my first boss. This year we're celebrating another anniversary. That'll be in Denver, Colorado in June. Another conference that he started, the National Conference on Student Assessment, formerly and earlier called the Boulder Conference, held in Boulder, Colorado for about 40 years, is going to be celebrating their 50th anniversary. Frank was the first staff director of the National Assessment of Educational Progress. They let the 50th anniversary slide by without any acknowledgement, which I thought was a real shame, because that the NAEP has been in business now for about 51 years as the nation's report card. Frank was a creative, innovative type. It was a joy to work for him and also to have him on my doctoral committee. But when he retired at age 55, he retired. Marge is going to talk a little bit more about that. But it's a pleasure for us to be here to pay tribute to him. So I'm going to ask each person to come up one at a time. I'm not going to be coming back, running back and forth. They're just going to follow in a progression and share their thoughts and memories and good wishes for the conference in the future. Marge.
So there is the clicker. That should work. Hi, everybody. Thanks, Ed. Oh, Ed, how do I get out of your show and into mine? Yeah, I guess I do. Go back a little bit. Yep, there are. Okay. One of the joys of being probably the oldest person in the room, definitely the longest serving on the assessment or the Michigan School Testing Committee. I think I counted in my head I attended 53 of the 60, but my first experience with it was 1960 when it started. And then David and I moved to Illinois for 7 years. But I was a graduate student of Frank Wommer's in his Introduction to Ed Measurement in 1959-60. And it changed who I was. It was just like that. Well, let me tell you a little bit about this. We've got my little headings here in case I forget. I'm going to start with Frank was a man of courage. He grew up on a small farm in Niles, Michigan, way over here. And his brother and sister stayed over there. Frank just took the leap. He decided he needed education. He wanted to travel. He wanted to do something besides farm. And so he stepped out, went to a couple of universities, starting in a little one, North Central College, and then going up from there. But he landed at the University of Michigan. And here he was not only teaching the class like the one I took, that changed the lifetime, I think, for several people, probably dozens, did what I did and said, hey, wait, maybe I don't want to be an English teacher all my life. And in addition to that, he was a consultant through the U of M Bureau of School Services, and he traveled to all the school districts in the state evaluating their assessment program. And after he got the feel of that, he started evaluating across the states, all of our country, and eventually, before the end of his career, he had traveled the world as a consultant. And everywhere he went, they loved him. He was just an amazing guy. So that kind of covers my experience that he was a consummate educator. I mean, I had been taking English lit classes and ed classes, but this thing was different. I was an undergraduate, double registered as a graduate because I had so many hours. And I walked into this ed measurement course because I thought it might be useful. And it changed things. He was an educator. Okay, secondly, or thirdly, I guess, he was what we call, or what Terry gave me the right words, a servant leader. He was humble. You'd never know he was important. His family didn't know he was important. Our friend, and the friend of several of us, Phil Kearney, who is now deceased, Phil and I were asked to write his obituary by Frank, because he said to me, nobody else knows what I've done. His family didn't know. He was just the uncle that kept coming to Niles and bringing presents. He was a very humble person. The way that showed up in his life, at National Assessment, for example, everybody was equal. At the staff meetings, the secretaries and the office clerk were allowed to sit at the main seats in the table And sometimes the pros were around the outside. You just got there when you sat down. But he also was aware of the skills of the people. He didn't put them higher than anybody else. But he surrounded himself in the early days of NAEP with cutting-edge experts in measurement theory, in statistical methods, in sampling methods, in reporting and scoring and reporting protocols. And he said to me once, I think I said, why does this work so well? It was a wonderful place to work, and Ed and I were both there. I said, why does it work so well? And he said, because I bring in people who know a lot more than I do. Isn't that interesting? He was a very cool guy to get to know. Okay, I wrote down, it probably is weird, a lifelong bon vivant. Frank loved a good party. He loved to be surrounded by interesting people. He hosted fine dining parties, but also costume soirees in his basement. He had an enormous wine cellar. He had friends the world over, and everywhere he went, he had a friend. He'd say, I'm going to, who knows what, Hawaii or Indonesia next week, and I think I'll be staying at this person's house. We had a good time last time, and I think we'll do that. I mean, he just knew everybody. And when I travel to this day, people who don't know that he's now deceased will say, how's Frank? He mattered to people. And finally, a friend and a mentor, but I've kind of implied that. He was not only a friend and a mentor to his students and his colleagues and his employees. God, Ed, you and I learned a lot at NAEP in the early days. We were creating large-scale assessment as it went down the runway. And he was wonderful in that regard. But he also, as I said, is a friend to everybody who ever met him. They still want to know how is he, and it's hard to break the news that he isn't. But anyway, he was a great guy. And that's who started this. So I'm going to move on from our founder to the last of the things that that kind of characterized Frank. And that is that he was a visionary. If he saw a problem that he had any chance of making a difference in, he took it on. And he didn't create just a solution, he created a lasted solution. So I'm going to go backwards in time. 38 years ago, he looked around at the practitioners in the field, the teachers, the counselors, the school principals. Nobody had any measurement knowledge. A lot of them still don't. Anyway, he said, you know, you read the AERA journals and the NCME journals, and they don't get anything out of it. They give up. So he launched, through National Council on Measurement and Education, a journal called Educational Measurement Issues and Practices. And it was for practitioners. And it really, it kind of has moved a little bit away from being really user-friendly, but it's still a very friendly journal for people who need to understand big concepts and can't wade through AERA. He also, think about 45 years ago in this country, in the middle 70s, when this country was blowing up over racial disparities. And Frank said, we can't make a difference till we have data. So he bit the bullet, I'm gonna cry, he bit the bullet and separated the data for black kids and white kids. Actually, the first couple of years, as Ed knows, it was black kids and all other groups. So Latinos and other groups were in the all other. He wanted to show the data on black children in our schools. And sure enough, I won't name the names, a district I knew very well had been able to report happily every year our scores are going up. When they disaggregated, it looked like this. That group went up like this, and this group stayed here. And finally, when you get that picture, you realize it's a real problem, and you can start to attack it, and you have data. Okay, so Ed mentioned the large-scale assessment conference, also called the Boulder Conference, also called what? Conference on Student Assessment or something. But 50 years ago, state assessments were just getting started in the wake of national assessment, and even national assessment was very new. So the people responsible for this had to get together and share tools, ideas, successes, failures, problems, and it was a wonderful opportunity to gather in the mountains of Boulder, or around Boulder, and just talk about these big issues. Still going back 53 years ago, as Ed said, Frank was the first ever director of the National Assessment of Educational Progress. There had been an exploratory committee, but this was it. it was running down the runway, and he had to produce this enormous thing that's still going strong. It's called, often in the press, they call it the nation's report card. It's the same thing. And at that point, that was just revolutionary. And that every one of these is still going strong. None of it fell off. And finally, 60 years ago, when I was almost young, MSTC was started by Frank. And the history on that one, and Ed alluded to this, 1957, Russians launched Sputnik, and we were in chaos and panic here. We had already lost. We thought we were the best nation in the world, and Russia sends up a space thing, and the satellite. And so it was panic, and within months, now government never works this fast. In less than a year, the National Defense Education Act got passed and signed by Eisenhower. And it put into place all kinds of techniques, basically to strengthen the education in math and science, because math and science were clearly viewed with what had happened to us. We were behind. And one of the more interesting parts of that legislation was one called Title V that created, or attempted to create, quality guidance testing services in the schools in America. We don't even use that term anymore. And the purpose, which is also not something we should talk about too often, was to identify and nurture the bright minds in math and science, but mostly identify and then bring them up to higher levels. There wasn't a lot of nurturing. It was in the high schools. Find those kids that are ready to launch the next Sputnik and do something with them. So that first year after the law was passed, the department funded three universities, Central, Western, and the U of M. It was a one-time conference on assessment. The other two dropped off. Frank said, hey, this has value. This made a difference, talking to these people. And so he decided to continue it through the U of M as the Michigan School Testing Conference, and that was its first year in 1960. And because he had such leadership and such belief in the cause, it remains stable ever since. We're still here, and I'm still here, maybe for a year or two. Anyway, it was fun being a part of the history. I hope you tolerate a little old lady telling you the history of this conference, but it was important, and thank you.
Thanks, Marge. I'm not going to get into an argument about age, which one of us is older. I believe what Mark Twain said about age is true, and that is that age is an issue of mind over matter. If you don't mind, it don't matter. Anyway, she's given you an idea about how the conference started, and certainly an idea and some insight into who started it. Frank Womer was truly a memorable person, and we're still celebrating his legacy today when we come to this conference. So my job is in the next few minutes is to give you an idea of what happened in the 60 years once it started. Ed asked me a couple of months ago whether I would give a description of the 60-year history of the conference, and I said, how much time do I have? And he said, 5 minutes. So wish me luck. Since most of you were not around when the conference started, let me tell you about some other things that were going on in the world at that time. You've already heard about Sputnik a few years earlier and so on. But there was a young man working in a record store in Detroit selling vinyl records. But his dream was to start his own recording company. And he did that about the time this conference started. It didn't take off right away. But a couple of years later, he changed the name of that company to Motown, and Berry Gordy did pretty well. There were four people banging around the pubs in Liverpool, England, trying to get people to listen to their music, but not many people did. They did okay, too. That group was the Beatles. And in the early 60s, we elected in this country a young, idealistic president who said, in response to Sputnik, before this decade is over, we're going to put a person on the moon. Unfortunately, he never lived to see that, but it did happen. However, when it happened, there were a group of people who said, no, it really didn't happen. It's a Hollywood hoax. They put this whole thing together, and the pictures are deceptive and so on. So I want you to understand that fake news and alternative facts are not a new thing to us. They've been around for at least 50 years. Anyway, the focus of the conference... Uh-oh, what did I do, Ed? Help. This? I'll get there. I am? That's not me. Anyway, I'll do it without the slides. I really need an overhead projector. When a conference started, the focus, as Marge already has described, was not on the kind of testing we think about today. Much of that testing never existed then. The audience to the conference when it first started was several dozen people, mostly guidance counselors, and they came to the School of Education and soon thereafter the Rackham Graduate Building. And then when we outgrew the Rackham Graduate Building, the League, the Michigan League, and eventually a hotel in Ann Arbor. So the location has changed over the years. The time of the year, however, has not. It's always been in what the University of Michigan calls its spring break. How spring ends up in February in Michigan is something we don't talk about anymore. But we kept it here at this time of the year because we always have such wonderful warm weather and it never snows. And so even though there are discussions about changing it, we don't change it. We kept it here. It started as a one-day conference, but it grew over the years, first to 2 days, then eventually we added several years ago a day of workshops. And I want to tell you how that came about, because on page, well, it's not numbered, but would be page 21 of your program, there's something in there about you're getting your suggestions in for next year's conference for topics, presenters, and so on and so forth. We use that kind of information in planning for next year's conference. So I encourage you to do that. Please do take advantage of that fact. So some of the changes take place because of the fact that we get some suggestions. Not all of them come from that, however. Marge has already mentioned the NDEA, the act that gave rise to the first Michigan School Testing Conference. However, in the intervening years, I'll take you through some alphabet soup. We went through ESEA, IASA, NCLB, ESSA, and I'm sure there will be more such changes in the future, all coming from federal initiatives. There are also some changes that took place at the state level that have brought about changes in this conference. 50 years ago last month, for the first time in this state's history, a state student assessment was delivered. It was called MEEP. And if you want to know more about that, you want to talk to Ed Raber. He knows a bit about how that came about. But anyway, there was no such thing as that kind of testing when this conference got underway. So now the conference involves a lot of different kinds of assessments, not just the classical large-scale tests that eventually became our focus, but the audience has expanded to several hundred. We have added, as I say, a third day of workshops. The time of the year has stayed the same, as I mentioned. The title of the conference has always been and probably always will be the Michigan School Testing Conference. But a lot of times, if you look at the old programs that are out on the table there, you'll see some subtitles. Assessment in the K-12 learning environment. We work assessment into the subtitles as much as possible because we don't just deal with tests in the classical use of that term. So these are some of the changes that have taken place over the years. As Ed mentioned, there have been four directors. He is the fourth in the history of the conference. And of course, for a good portion of that time, Frank Womer himself directed the conference. What that director does is assemble a planning committee. They're listed in your program. And this planning committee consists of educators in different walks of life, some local administrators, local educators, intermediate, some college professors, and so on. And they come together for a full day and start with the ideas that you provide them with, add some of their own, talk about different presenters that would be a good idea. And usually at the end of that time, there's 100-some ideas to deal with. And then the conference director, with the help of some of the people on that committee, winnow it down to what you see in the actual program. So at the end of the day, you're probably dealing with about 36 or so breakout sessions, clinics, a couple of plenary sessions in the morning, usually one lunch speaker, but because we're celebrating our 60th anniversary, you don't get to just sit and talk today at lunch. You get to listen, and soon you'll get to listen to the same guy you got to listen to yesterday when Andy comes back. But in any event, this committee, this planning committee listed, really provides the bulk of the work that goes into the planning of this program. And we owe a lot of thanks to the people that give up their time to make that happen. The conference, finally, has over the years enjoyed enormous support from some sources, and I'll start with our conference sponsor, who is the School of Education at the University of Michigan. From day one, they have sponsored this conference. We couldn't do it without them. We're grateful for that support. You notice what tie I wore. The Michigan Assessment Consortium is also a strong supporter of this conference. You're going to hear a little bit more about that from Kathy in a few minutes, so I won't bother you now. Certainly the Michigan Department of Education, as Ed has already mentioned. The vendors that you see out here provide invaluable support. And when Frank retired, he set up an endowment at the university with a substantial amount of funds. And some of those funds are used to bring in a plenary session speaker every year. That speaker also provides a lecture at the university level from the funds in that endowment. The University of Michigan Conference Services works behind the scenes along with the Michigan Association of Superintendents and Administrators and repeat performance to support everything we do. We are grateful for all of these, for the support we receive from all of these people, and certainly hope it continues in the future. So in conclusion, Motown now has its own museum. The Beatles are no longer in the news. We don't hear much talk today about putting somebody on the moon. But the Michigan School Testing Conference is still going strong. We hope you will come back. Thanks. We hope you'll come back at this time next year, where we promise to deliver helpful sessions in English, not in ancient Snoic, and no alternative facts and no fake news. We will enter our seventh decade, and we appreciate your being here and your participation in this conference. And with that, I'll turn it over to Andy Mittelstadt.
Is it right here? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I sure hope I'm not in a museum someday, or any of us, certainly. So you get to hear from me twice, two lunches in a row, so please fill out your evaluation if you think that's a terrible idea or not. I have about 72 seconds to share about the relationship that the department has with the Michigan School Testing Conference. And you can see certainly some of the connections that we have on the slide that's displayed up on the screen. But one thing I want to talk about specifically is we've been working for the last number of years. We've always been working, but specifically the last 5 years or so, we've really been working hard in figuring out how we can be more supportive, more communicative, and be of more assistance to folks like yourselves out in the districts and schools around the area of assessment. We have tried varying degrees and iterations of conferences. For many years, off and on, we've held our own assessment conferences, the MDE Assessment Conference, MDE Accountability Conference, and whatnot. We've tried some of those different times. Those are good, but we've had some not so successful ones as well. Certainly there's been some where we've had just a few people registered and we've had to cancel. That's not been fun. I recalled this morning, it was a number of years ago, it was in Lansing. We were in the Lansing Center in a giant, huge, cavernous ballroom. I don't know if anybody was there. There was probably 75, 80 people there. It was a good thing, but it was in this giant, huge ballroom. It was like we were in a rock stadium for a concert, and we're just talking about assessment. It didn't work real well. So I think what we've done in a lot of ways is scaled back on trying to do those and really built up our partnership with the Michigan School Testing Conference, because we know when this is. Yes, it's in February. Yes, one of the things I've benefited the most from the School Testing Conference is my winter driving skills have been greatly enhanced over the years. But this seems to work well. I mean, we are a large component of the conference, and we are very happy to put in the work to put together a dozen or more presentations that we have many years. But we're also very excited about being able to learn from you all and the other people that are here at the conference that are doing great assessment information, giving that stuff out to us. So I think I've really been proud as we've refined our involvement in the School Testing Conference. And then also, you know, the other aspect we've really built out over the last few years as a plug is our weekly spotlight on student assessment. You know, we've really been able to figure out a way to have a weekly newsletter that's chock full of information that's hopefully helpful to folks. And if you haven't found that, I think you can just Google MDE OEAA Spotlight and you'll find a way to find that. But we really appreciate being so involved in this conference. We do look forward to it every year, not necessarily the winter snow and the driving, but it is a great opportunity for us to get together and really develop this partnership with the conference. And you know, and I do appreciate Ed and the other folks that are part of the committee that really allow us to put as many sessions as we do onto the program. So again, it's great to be able to celebrate 60 years of this conference. Like I said, I've been involved for many of them now, not nearly as many as some of my colleagues here, but it's been a good thing to be involved in, and we appreciate it, and we're looking forward to many more years moving forward. So thank you. I'll turn it over to Steve.
Good afternoon, everyone. Oh, come on, you can do better than that. Good afternoon. 60 years. Woo. Now, please don't let my gray hair fool you. I am not 60 years old. You can't even round my age up to 60. But I appreciate the work of the people before me. Like, I was almost brought to tears earlier in thinking about the disaggregation of scores, because that has been a benefit of people like me who look like me in my community. So I took the privilege of displaying for you who was running the testing program in 1994 at MDE. I got this certificate for having a near perfect science score. So I have been the beneficiary of some of the good work that this conference has helped with schools and across the nation. So really quickly, equity. I was asked to represent what is the purpose or the benefit of the conference to ISDs. And when I think about the purpose of our ISDs, I sort of center on equity, right? We help leverage economies of scales and services so that all students in all districts and all schools can benefit in high quality services, learning, and resources. We're trying to attain an environment that kids can have a shot beyond their zip code, beyond the limitations of their homes and their communities and resources and finances, we provide the equity that allows all children in the state to exceed high expectations. Even our own organization, Oakland Schools, we have a goal rooted in equity. We will allocate and manage our resources to ensure that all learners will have opportunity and access to high-quality education. And that's the purpose of ISDs. It shouldn't matter the zip code of where the kid lives. It shouldn't matter where the school is geographically located. Every student from our system has to have great opportunity, has to have quality learning experiences. And I know that each of us in our role here play a small part in that. And I appreciate the role of the conference in evolving over time to really focus on classroom educators and schools and improving outcomes for all students. And I am so thankful, again, for the work of the people before me, and I'm glad to be in the fight with you for educational justice for all students. Thank you.
So I'm not sure who developed this lineup, but I'm not happy about going after you, Stephen. So my task was to come and talk to you a little bit about the impact that the Michigan School Testing Conference has had on local school districts and or schools. And I'm jealous, Terry, because Ed told me I had 2 minutes. So here we go. I'm also like Frank Warmer, and when I'm asked to do something that I don't feel competent enough to do it, I go to people who are smarter than me. So I asked several colleagues that are sitting amongst you to send me some quotes about what they felt the Michigan School Testing Conference meant to them within their schools and their districts. And so we're going to go through these really quickly. So get out your speed reading skills. And here is Mary Ruth Bird from South Redford. And if any of you know Mary Ruth, she doesn't just talk the talk, she puts it into place, right? She does a wonderful job making sure that this gets back into her schools. This is Lisa Lachman from Westford-Masaki and Manistee ISD. I think you're seeing some trends. National experts, FAME program, balanced assessment systems. This is our good friend Joe Orban from Wayne Westland. I love the referrals. Anytime you have anybody in your district that's a little bit fuzzy, Michigan School Testing Conference, that's where you need to go. Kayla Greca from Advanced Technology Academy. Kay and I both, I'm pretty sure, weren't born when this started, but we're getting there, Kay. Hang in. But she's been coming for at least 10 years. I've been coming for about 12. And she's another one who makes sure that she puts this into place. Terry Portis, who many of you may have had the opportunity to see today. That collaboration, the opportunity to talk to other people who are kind of in the same boat as you are, getting great ideas from one another, taking those back and implementing them. The west side of the state had to be represented, so Sarah Whitford from Forest Hills. I love the beginning. And I love that last paragraph. It just reminds us that working to promote assessment literacy is critically important for the well-being of both teachers and students, right? And that she leaves re-energized and recommitted and ready to go, even if it is slogging through the snow. And I think this is our last one. Amber White from North Branch, who I don't think she's here today. I think she had to go back to another meeting. And I love her last line. All right, thank you.
Okay, well, batting cleanup here. I hope you feel that you're part of the MSTC family now. 60 years is a testament to a clear vision from Frank Wilmer and a legacy of appreciation and respect for Frank and his vision. And it's carried forward by several deans of the School of Education at U of M and the professionals that are with us here today that he inspired and mentored, Ed and Terry and Marge, and they mentioned Phil Kearney, and you saw a picture of George, a former conference director. The conference has become a nexus for examining issues, research, policy, and practice important to assessment, our use of assessment, and its impact on our practice and the children we serve. In the 10 years that MACS developed as a statewide assessment consortium with a mission that supports development of quality comprehensive assessment systems and promotion of effective practice to support learning, we have truly appreciated the opportunity to identify and connect current practitioners and our next generation of education leaders to help plan and present and support the conference. And we're very pleased that our partnership has deepened with each year. We're committed to strengthening the partnership that perpetuates the vision for the conference initiated by Frank in 1960. And we really say this with great authenticity. We need your ideas for workshops and clinics. We do pay attention. Terry gave you the page number out of the booklet. There's been, and there's also an electronic survey you can participate with. We're interested in ideas for workshops, clinics, and even the plenary speakers. Those are your keynoters. Or seek out any of the planning committee members. They stood up this morning, and you have their names in the booklet. And please share your ideas. Planning for 2021 begins in earnest March 25th. Ed worries about it every day between now and March 25th. But for the rest of us, it's that quick that we get back on it and start working for next year. And Ed also wanted me to let you know that this slideshow is on the conference site, and it's on the MAC site as well. And I don't know if any of you are great tweeters, but there's some good material in here if you were going to do a little bit of promoting. So I encourage you to do that. Thank you so much for your attention this afternoon, and we'll look forward to seeing you next year.
Well, I realize we ran over a little bit, but as I said to one of my presenters over here, we're getting better. We're not running over by as much as we did yesterday, so we're improving. Not yet proficient? I don't know. But anyway, I'll close with just one comment about Frank. When I took over the conference, it was a weak moment when I was actually set up by all of the old-timers, there was a meeting to talk about basically who was going to succeed Terry, and apparently they'd already decided. I was not part of that conversation, however, and so at the conclusion of that, they said, well, Ed, you would be the natural one, because as it turned out, I was the only one practically that was going to remain on the committee. So I reminisced about something that I had done when Frank was still alive, and I was on the planning committee, and it was a time when the word test was a four-letter word, not unlike today. And so when I took over the conference, once again, people said, why are you calling this a testing conference? You know how evil that word testing is. And I said, well, because about 30 years ago, at a planning committee meeting, I had the guts to raise my hand and say, Frank, have you ever thought about changing, dropping the word test in testing conference and calling it the Michigan School Assessment Conference? And although Frank was all of the things that people have talked about, he did have a particular stare that cut right through you. And he just looked at me with that stare, didn't say a word. There was a a pause that was probably only a few seconds, but it seemed like an eternity. And I clearly stepped on his toes, and it was not going to change. And so when I've been asked that, this will be the Michigan School Testing Conference. And thankfully, the state obliged by using the T word that we were forbidden for using when I was in charge of the assessment program. And so now I feel like I've got cover. I want to thank Marge and Terry and Andy and Stephen, Ellen and Kathy for their part of this. It's perhaps not as much fun as it has been for us to see the pictures that were up here, to remember some of the people who've come and spoken at the conference. There's so much that we've enjoyed about our participation. We all learn from Frank. We all remember him. We all live our professional lives and sometimes our personal lives in ways that were affected by Frank. We look forward to many more years of this conference. It is unique among the United States. I've tried to tell other states about why they ought to have such efforts going on, because I think that the opportunity for the Department of Education to come here and to learn from you and for you to learn from them is something that would benefit others. But I'll keep working on this until I find my successor. We'll be back in February of next year. I don't know what the weather will be like. I know that one of these years, the January thaw will occur in February, that there'll be balmy 50 degree temperatures out there, and everybody will be complaining about how bright the sunshine is instead of how deep the snow. So a couple of reminders. We're going to move the air wall here, so we ask the people over here to evacuate. Please, we don't want to hit anybody with an air wall. Be sure to turn in your sketch forms if you're asking for those. Recycle your name badges, and remember that the resource URL is okay. The QR code is not on that table tent. So we'll see you this afternoon at the sessions and then again next year.